I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. We'll get to some fish bites coming up here in just a couple of minutes with Navadomskis, who has cleared the line long enough for us, Russ, to get our next guest on the air with us. And he's been on with us a couple of times. Always love to have him, too. He's the vice president and general manager of Snow Basin Resort, Davey Ratchford. Davey, how are things?
From you again.
Good to hear from you. I haven't talked to you. I don't think we've talked to you since the season came to an abrupt end. And we have had conversation with other resorts. And the first thing I always want to find out is, what was that realization like for you guys?
Wow, it was. It seems like a long time ago now, which is wild. It's only been a couple of months. We had one of the shocking parts is we were having a record year. We were having an amazing season. People were having a great time. Great snow. We were all looking positive. The entire industry. We were looking great. And then, March 15th, close to St. Patrick's Day, it just all came to a quick halt. And it was an amazing kind of time because myself and most of the other general managers of the ski resorts in Utah, we were all on a text string figuring out what's going on. What are you guys doing? What are we doing? It was just so quick. And it was an incredible amount of effort amongst everybody to try help each other out, too, because if one closes, other areas are going to get more people. And so we were all trying to just help each other out, which is that is the spirit of Utah. That's what we see in the ski industry here in Utah. And I always get it to speak about that. The Ski Utah team, Nathan Raphael, those guys have done an incredible job. But it was, I describe it as that's a playbook page you don't like to open up to very often and
no.
Figure out how to pull that off. It was an incredible time. And I'm really grateful for my team and the effort they put in and saddened for people that had their season cut short.
Yeah, to your point about, if one closes, that puts extra pressure on other resorts. I had all of the people I know who think that I'm connected because we host this show every week with all the details and knew exactly what was going on at all the resorts. And everybody would say, well, I think that Snow Basin, for instance, or Nordic Valley or somebody, maybe Powder Mountain is still the only one operating lifts. And so everybody would rush that direction. It was a crazy time.
It was wild. And, most of the resorts closed on the Saturday. We closed on the Sunday. And the reason we made that decision is because, unlike some of the other resorts who have a lot of destination visitors in town, so many of ours are coming up and even like within 50 miles, right? And so communicating, getting the word out was challenging because it was so quick. And so we said, well, let's give it an extra day so we can have more time to communicate, or else we're just going to have thousands of people in cars coming up and lining up outside the resort, not a great way to communicate with them. So our decision was a little bit different than others, but it was a tough time because, we had people, even on that Sunday, we were at a threshold where we felt, okay, we can't do more than this. We were doing all the mandated things that we needed to keep social distancing and, do all the right sanitation rules that we had in place already. But I just got nervous about that many people coming up. And we had guests coming from Park City that had been out on their trip, big vacation from New York, and they had nowhere to go. Yeah. And they came to Snow Basin. And I think a lot of people are grateful that we had an experience for them. But then, others are bummed out because that was their vacation. And that's a tough time for a lot of people.
Yeah. Was there ever a consideration just to close the lodge, change the way food services were, and let people ski?
Yeah, and we did some of that, actually, and we definitely modified. I think most places modified their operation because you needed to have people feel comfortable. The bigger question was really around the gondolas and how many people can you actually put in? How are people going to feel sitting next to someone they don't know on a gondola? And, it's an interesting, outside of the madness and the terrible loss that we've seen around this thing, it's the social experiment of, how comfortable are you next to somebody else?
Yeah.
And that you don't know. And I think for the most part in the ski industry, some of that some people just keep moving forward and do their thing, and then others are very anxious about it, you know, understandably so. So we were, it was really more about, I think, the lift access. The food and beverage piece, I think we'd already saw for. We'd already removed a lot of tables, and we'd already, you know, created space, and we'd had all the hygiene practices in place. But it was the, I think the gondolas in particular made it challenging. It's amazing, right? Any other year, people love the fact that we have gondolas here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then this time we're like, oh man, it's a challenging one. So we've been working on that quite a bit of how do people feel comfortable riding in closed spaces like that?
Well, and where people's mindsets are going forward, I know continues to be a huge question, not just in skiing, but in all of business right now. And much of our employment and everything else is only going to come back when there's a demand. And that sort of transitions us to thinking of something a little bit brighter, and that is next season. Even though there are questions surrounding it, it is that time of year when people are making their decisions on season passes. And I know that there are some changes with yours, probably with all of those question marks in mind.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the entire industry around the globe is dealing with this. And again, we're one microcosm, as you said, like to a broader global economic future, right? How does all businesses function? And in our case, there were some places that did nothing, and, you know, they knew that to survive, they had to count on those revenues. In our case, you know, we work for a family and a group that are very generous and understand the situation. And, you know, we created a couple of new programs for next year. One was probably the foremost what people are interested in is a pass protection program. So if, you know, it gets to November and heaven forbid this thing doesn't go away and we have to, you know, cancel the season, and that being the worst case scenario, you know, how are people that buy a pass now, how are they protected? And we created a program. We've always had our program for, you know, if something happens to you, if there's an injury or if you, say, get deployed for military. But we broadened that for free for people so they can buy in peace of mind knowing that, you know, whether the season never starts or it gets prorated in some way because you ski 10 days, but then it gets cut short, like, what can we do to give, you know, some peace of mind? We created that, and it's been very well received. We also did a 20% discount. So if you had a season pass last year, and even if you skied 80 days, which plenty of people did, you'll get a 20% discount on your pass for next year, which has, again, been very well received. And, you know, usually prices go up. In our case, prices went down. And then we extended pricing. And then one really cool thing that I'm really proud of that we came up with here is there's a lot of people that, you know, don't blame, like, the ski resorts, this is a global pandemic, right? But, you know, there was a lot of people that just wanted to try still pay it forward and do good. And so in our case, if that 20% discount on next year's passes, you have an option to donate that money to local charities and pay it forward in some way. So we worked with three, the Gold Foundation, Davis County Education Foundation, and the Trails Foundation in Northern Utah, all amazing groups, and who all need our support. And that's the other thing that's going on here. There's nonprofits that are struggling just like every other business, and they need help. And so this, you know, it's been really gratifying to see ourselves at Snow Basin contributing to these groups, but also, you know, individual guests that, you know, yeah, they could take the 20% for themselves and save a little bit of money, or they could donate it to these charities. And a lot of people have been doing that. And I'm really grateful for that, because I think they need our help too. And they can't be, you know, forgotten throughout this thing.
What a great idea. Yeah, and the frustration, and I'm sure it was for you guys too, and for all of the industry, is we're talking about a sport where, by its nature, you're socially distanced, and you're wearing gloves, and you have a face mask, and you have goggles on, and you're wearing gloves. We just have our fingers crossed that we're going to get the green light next year. We were talking last week with somebody who works with the National Ski Resort Association out of Colorado, and he's been working with the governor, and they still are very hopeful that, you know, a ski season is going to take place next year. And so I would encourage people, as we have, to go forward with the purchase of your season passes, because I would hate to see you miss out on the savings, the opportunity to save and still be set to do your skiing next year when the greatest snow on earth returns.
Yeah, and thanks for saying that, because we're all optimistic about it. We have to be. This is a passion sport. This is a multi-generational from, you know, the 92-year-old that skied this year at Snow Basin all the way down to the 2-year-old, right? Like, we have that, and families come, and it's an activity, like you said, that you can do safely and you can do out in the mountains, and we encourage people to find that passion, and we're very optimistic about it. And at the end of the day, it just, you know, like any other sport, people in this case, they just want to ski. And they want to get out and find that freedom that comes with being on a mountain on a powder day, and you're just, you know, you're challenging yourself and having an amazing time.
Well, look,
and we'll get back to it soon. Yeah.
We have focused enough, and we need to continue. Don't make me, I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying that your health, your physical health is not important, but my goodness, your mental health is also part of your physical health. And
absolutely.
And we all need to be looking for those opportunities. Real quick, as we wrap up, you probably don't have answers for me, but I'll ask it anyway. What do we know about summer season at all?
Well, we're definitely looking at it. I really commend our state and the governor with these guidelines that have been coming out. We just got an update, version 4.5 yesterday, that talks about events and group settings. And we're paying very close attention to that and giving, you know, a lot of credence to that, especially the guidelines to as it associates around groups and events and how people can gather. And that's what Snow Basin's always been, an incredible gathering location for so many people over the course of the summer. So we're paying attention to it, seeing what we can do, and hopefully we'll have some announcements here pretty soon once these things get more solidified. But it's time, and I would, like you said, for your mental health and your health and well-being, get outside, go in the mountains, walk around, just enjoy that time. It's really, really good, and it's been great to see people come up here and do that, and doing it in an appropriate way, being socially distant. The mountains can offer that to you, and definitely get out and find that peace of mind.
Well, you've lifted me up just in our conversation. I appreciate it. Davey Ratchford is the Vice President General Manager of Snow Basin Resort. Thanks for your time today.
You're a good man, Tim. Thank you for all you do.
We'll take another quick break, and we'll come back with more of KSL Outdoors in just a minute. Navi's got your fish bites next.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Men get stupid and women roll their eyes. Tammy does a shimmy at the fish fry.
This is why it's good that this happens on the radio and not anywhere where people can actually see it when these two do the shimmy.
I'm a little dizzy from doing all that shimmying.
All right, let's talk fish bites for a minute. And before you get into anything specific, this is one of the stranger stories I think I have ever heard of. And I can't imagine what was going on here, but I got a press release from Faith Jolly, who always keeps us on top of things that are happening at the division, with this headline: the DWR seeks information after 260 fish are left to waste near Syracuse.
What the heck?
They're seeking,
what?
Yeah, they're seeking information after 260 white bass were recently discarded and left to waste. The fish were discovered on the side of the road at West Gentile Street near Syracuse on May 18th. No attempt has been made to salvage any portions of the meat. Now, in Utah, white bass do have daily bag or possession limits wherever you go to get them, and they are commonly consumed fish species, are subject to wasting laws and regulations if steps aren't taken to preserve them for consumption after catching them. But, I mean, imagine 260.
Well,
first of all, how do you get that many? And then why do you just leave them?
Oh, my gosh. I know exactly where that spot is. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. Go ahead, Navi.
I said that's terrible. I can't believe people are so horrible. That's the horrible thing. What do they have? They were mad at White Bass, or that they're even in Syracuse Pond? Or, well, I don't understand the point of that at all. They were obviously a statement by them.
Yeah, well, there's illegal activity on both ends of this, obviously. If you somehow caught 260 of them, that's way beyond any limits or, daily bag limits. And then disposing of them or just discarding of them is also an illegal activity. So how they would get information on this, I don't know. Maybe they're hoping that they, maybe somebody else who was fishing in the same area saw a bunch of people pulling all these fish out, one right after another or something. I mean, that's a long day or a long weekend to catch that many fish. But it qualifies now as a poaching situation. So they've opened up the UTIP hotline at 800-662-3337 for information. But, wow.
Somebody saw something, Tim.
You'd have to think, with that many fish.
Yeah, it would take more than 10 minutes to do that. Somebody saw something.
Yeah. I hope they figure that out, and I want to get a follow-up on the story so we find out exactly what was going on there.
Me too.
You mentioned at the top of the show that the boys did make their trip to Montana and that the water was high and probably darn cold. Did they get snowed on up there?
Yes, they did. They got snowed on. They got rained on. And like I say, the water was high, and both of my boys had to go swimming. And I literally mean swimming, like kicking and stroking. So I'm kind of glad I didn't go, but they caught a lot of beautiful fish, like they always do. They fished in Southwest. They fished the Madison, the Ruby, the Beaverhead, and they even went over to Henry's Lake in Idaho for the opening of that to catch some cutthroats. So they did really well. They caught a lot of fish, but, yeah, might have been too much for me at this stage of my life.
Yeah. I guess as these temperatures really get cranking this weekend, those flows are going to pick up here in Utah too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pre-runoff up there. By the way, this cold snap that happened to us last week really did good things for the river because, the Weber where I live now, it dropped because there was no runoff and cleared right up. So I did a lot of fishing over the Memorial weekend right here in the Weber River, and it was incredible. One thing we were catching were Junes. If you go to Colorado, the spring suckers, and the reason why is they show up in spring because this is when they run. But they're monsters. I mean, they're monster fish, like 8-pound, 9-pound fish. And they're a whole lot of fun to catch. And, of course, the browns were taken just fine. What's really started to happen is Willard Bay, the wipers. If you haven't gone fishing for wipers, make yourself a to-do list and get out there. It's not that tough. I'll give you some tips. They love the shad. I throw a white zonker, but anything pearl, white, even silver, shiny, they'll take it. Now, they sunk a houseboat out there. I don't have the GPS coordinates on it, but a lot of people do. They found it, and they sink that houseboat, so it provides cover for the forage fish, the shad. And of course, the wipers cruise along in that area trying to eat all those fish. Now, one thing about wipers is they run in schools. Now, when you're fishing with a schooling fish, it's feast or famine. Once you find a school you can't miss, one of the things that we used to do when I was a kid was when we got one, we snap a bobber on the line and then cut the line and then follow the bobber the rest of the day because wherever that bobber was is where the school is.
Yeah.
But one thing you need to know about these wipers is they inhale it. So a lot of fish literally bite your fly or your lure or your worm or whatever, but not these bass. They inhale the water around it. So when they come up on it, they go like a big inhale, and it inhales the bait into their mouth without an actual bite. So what that does is it causes a little bit of slowness in detecting a strike. So, it's real subtle, even though they come right up with their big mouth and just whoop, take it all the way in and then deep. And then if you set them, then you got them. And then, you get them really right on the lip. And sometimes it's really down in that bucket mouth. But they fight so hard, they turn sideways. And some of them get up to 8 pounds. It's like trying to bring a plate. So if you want to ride, let's go on a float tube. You're going around that lake a few times trying to get your wiper in, but it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, you can eat those babies. They got mercury. But one thing they don't have is ancestry. So you're not going to kill the future generations. These are a hybrid. They're crossed between a white bass and a striper. So, you know, they're totally eatable, and they're not going to have offspring, so you're not affecting any kind of future as far as population. So, you know, put them on the barbecue. Put them on the
You talked me into it. We need to take a break. Wrapping up Fish Bites here. By the way, I saw last week a report, and I believe it. Commercial fishing obviously has been put on hold in a lot of places because of the pandemic. But individual fishing licenses and gear are just flying off the shelves, which makes sense to me that more and more people are looking to get out and just do that social distancing and have a little fun.
Nice.
All right, we need to
It's inherent with fishing, social distancing.
Yep. We need to take a little break. We'll have more coming up in just a minute.